Hey out there to every human and creepy shopkeeper. This is Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. I'm Brandon, and with me is the guy who looks damn good in a ducky costume, Cortland. How are you doing, Cortland?
Hey, Brandon. I was just thinking about how good I'd look in that sweet duck costume.
Oh, you would totally pull it off.
Which, spoilers, we don't see in this episode.
No, but its spirit is carried through.
Yeah, they mention it like 100 times, but still.
Yeah. It's not prominently featured, but I mean, this episode's pretty much all about that ducky costume.
Yeah, if you, like, deconstruct this episode, it's really all about the duck costume.
That's the moral of the story. Just ducky costume. So how are you doing, Cortland?
I'm doing pretty good today, Brandon. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
You know, we've been talking this week, and it seems as though our temperatures have, like, shifted, right? So it's really cold over there, and it's really hot over here. Kind of annoying.
I mean, it's kind of cold over here.
Okay, well, you got, like, 60 degree temperatures, and we're in, like, the 80s.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
That's what it's like being in different hemispheres, brah.
Yeah, I looked up your temperature in, like, the Sydney area, and I was like, the fuck is this? Because I'm sitting there sweating buckets, and you're probably, like, living it up with your little fucking sweater on.
I love it.
I'm so jealous, honestly. I am. It's, like, muggy and shit already here. It's garbage.
I hate that. It's the worst.
But I do have something exciting going on today.
Ooh!
Yeah, my son, I think I mentioned this before, he's in karate, right? I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast. He's in karate.
You have.
Anyway, he's going to be testing to go into, like, the extra portion of karate, where he's going to do, like, fucking nunchucks and shit.
There's an extra?
Yeah, it's like
karate DLC?
Yeah, pretty much, because we're probably going to have to pay for it. So, yeah, he's gonna be in, like, the class where they, you know, all the other kids leave, and then, you know, the trained
kids.
Yeah, the cool kids, they get to do their thing. So he's going to be working on nunchucks and fucking sticks and stuff. It's gonna be great. I can't wait.
That's badass. Cool.
I know. If you guys, like, have a kid and you want some entertainment for the week, put him in karate, because it is the most incredible thing, seeing these kids, like, flail around and stuff. Like, when they don't know how to do an exercise, and the coach is just like, okay, do a sit-up, and they're like, what is a sit-up? It's incredible. It's amazing.
That sounds fun.
It's pretty great, not gonna lie.
Just a bunch of kids like, sit-go!
Yeah, exactly. It's like, when I say it's my entertainment for the week, like, the podcast is for sure, but, like, second best, like, these kids doing karate, like, them doing push-ups, oh my god, it's great. So how's your week, Brandon?
It's pretty good.
Awesome.
Nothing outlandish happened this week, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. I know you messaged me and said that you got Resident Evil 8, so that's pretty sweet.
I did. I've played 44 minutes of it.
Oh, nice. I thought you were going to tell me you hadn't even played it. I was prepared to say, you mean you haven't played it?
Well, you can still say it, because I love that line, but
so
I have
great.
Played it a little bit.
You haven't played it yet? It's like, you know, each other, and it's really bad. How do you like it?
From the 44 minutes I've played, it seems good.
Awesome.
It has that thing that you do in Resident Evil games now, where you get to an area where it's like, oh, all the enemies are coming, and you have to just, like, survive for a little bit of time, and here's this big enemy with an axe or a chainsaw or, you know, what have you, and you gotta run away from him.
Classic. Started with Resident Evil 4. It's been a staple since. I don't know if Resident Evil 6 had it, but, like, nobody likes that game, so it's whatever.
Alright, Cortland, do you want to talk about some goosebumps?
Yeah, I suppose we should talk about some goosebumps.
Alright, well, today, we are talking about, and I have to stop myself from saying the tale of.
I felt it before you could say it. I knew, because I thought it too.
Today we're talking about The Haunted Mask, Part 2.
The Haunted Mask 1, Part 2, yeah.
Yes. This is Part 2.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty much what I thought it was going to be. There's some surprises, but there's some more of that, like, just kind of watching Carly Beth run into the distance for, like,
oh my god,
20 seconds. That just is super
yes!
unnecessary.
Oh my god.
I don't
It happened, you know, it happened, like, once, and I was like, why did it go for that long? But by the, like, fifth time it happened, and I was writing my notes, like, and she runs into the background again.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they doing this to us?
The only thing I can think is that they were panning out the time, but I'm not.
I mean, they got the two-parter, they got Room to Breathe, but you don't need that much.
It's weird, it's just filled with Carly Beth running into the distance. Maybe that was the prominent feature in the book, and R.L. Stine was like, that has to stay.
That's like every other chapter. I mean, if you cut out all the scenes of Carly Beth either running into the background or just going, then you could probably get this down to one part easily.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I do love the part where she's
yeah,
it's pretty great. It's great. Like, you can tell she's having fun with it, so I like
she
it.
Is. She's loving it, and we're loving that she's loving it. So, we don't get R.L. Stine here at the top of the episode being like, you know, what's up?
What's up, R.L. again?
Let's see, you know, some more things happen. I like this part of the story, too. People die at the end. I don't know, whatever.
Believe it or not, I like this part, too.
It just jumps right in to where we left off, with Carly Beth violently shaking her friend Sabrina,
yes.
Growling, saying, shut up, shut up!
Oh my gosh. You know, now that I remember it, that part was pretty great in the first episode.
It was great.
Shut up, shut up!
And you were like, god damn! But she starts laughing, and we get the first of many fake-outs.
Yeah.
She says, gotcha! You should have seen your face. It was the best!
It was.
And Sabrina repeats, the best? Now, CB says, did you actually think I was going to hurt you? And Sabrina kind of rubs her shoulder as if CB actually did hurt her. And she says, it's not that funny, Carly Beth. Which is totally true, because it's not.
No, yeah. It's not. I'd be pissed at you if you did this to me, so, like, I'm...
Yeah.
I understand, Sabrina.
That's not
Sabrina.
Funny. She's just like, shut up!
Yeah. If you violently shook me and told me to shut up, I don't think I'd like that very much.
No. That's not funny. What these characters think of as funny. Like, I guess I get how scaring people could be funny. Like, you get that reaction. They're like, yeah. Ooh. But it's not that funny.
It's not. But you know what, Brandon? It's the 90s. They didn't have the internet, so they were bored. Well, they did.
You gotta do something.
Yeah. It's a different time, man. Things that were funny back then aren't so funny today.
Yeah, things change. CB says, sorry, I'm just staying in character.
You know, getting in the mood.
Oh my god.
She does this fabulous little dance.
I loved that. Getting in the mood.
Getting like, in the mood.
Like, she's okay. You got to keep in mind, though, she's already been like and growling at kids and dogs and stuff for like 10 minutes already. So I don't know what she's talking about. She's been in the mood since she put that fucking mask on.
Look,
and R.L. Stine
this
was
wasn't
like,
in the script. This was Catherine Long talking off set, and they were like, oh, we got to shoot this. Because Catherine Long, as we discussed in the last episode, is a method actor.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
She eats those real worms. She shakes these actors and scares these kids for real. Like, she's in it.
She is a tour de force, if I've ever seen one.
Sabrina says Carly Beth is doing a good job at it. Which I agree with, because Catherine Long is killing it.
Yeah.
CB says that she likes scaring people, because usually she's the one who's always scared of everything. Sabrina simply wants a heads up next time CB decides to go berserk like that. CB gives a little salute,
grabs
her impaled head, and gives a little Tommy Wiseau laugh.
Yes! Yeah, she does.
She does that quite a few times.
That's what. Yeah, she did it like once or twice in the last episode. And I was like, Tommy, is that you?
Yeah, it's great.
I'm pretty sure. Doesn't Sabrina say like her joke was a little sick or something like that? Like,
yeah, she's always calling it like the stuff sick or gross.
The way she says it is like the most disgusting thing that's ever been in her presence before, though. It's pretty great.
Like, yeah, she's absolutely repulsed by Carly Beth right now. They run up to a house and yell, trick or treat! A mom and two kids come to the door, and the mom, upon seeing the girls, responds, ugh, now that's what I call a scary mask. One of the kids, who should be out trick or treating themselves, but isn't for some reason,
right,
comments on Sabrina's costume saying, what are you supposed to be, a giant hamster?
Oh my god.
Which is great, because I thought, she was a rat.
Yeah, right. You're here with that little, like, one-toothed kid.
Yeah, I'm like, ah, that's right, man. It's you and me. Sabrina sounds very hurt, saying, no cat.
Yeah, right. Because, like, it's so discernible.
Yeah, it just it's just some vague mammal costume. It's got whiskers, I think, and a tail.
Yes.
The other little kid says, I don't like that other mask. Too scary.
Oh, my God.
The mom tries to reassure her kid, but it's clear she's not a big fan of the mask herself. Just then, Carly Beth leans in real close to the little girl, and in her creepy mask voice says, you better watch what you say to me if you know what's good for you. And we have to talk about this voice.
Okay.
Because we didn't really mention it last episode.
No, we didn't. To be fair, it is much more prominent in this episode, though, so.
Yeah, she is very, like, mask Carly Beth now.
Yeah, she's loving it. She fucking loves this shit. I love it, too.
I mean, that's Catherine Long doing the voice, right?
It's, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It sounds like it is. Yeah, she just kind of does this, like, I want your candy, and I want to scare everybody.
Yeah.
Like, she's just doing a voice, but also people seem to be like, what? What is this demonic voice?
Yeah, where is that voice coming from you? Like, I don't, she's just, like, moved her larynx. I don't know. I don't know how to do voices. It just kind of happens. I don't know. She just positioned her tongue a different, I don't know.
She just did a voice. You know what the voice reminds me of?
No. What does it remind
me of? The voice reminds me of Gonzo from Muppet Babies.
Yeah. She does sound like Gonzo, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I love it. I love
Gonzo. I don't know, Kermit.
That's actually what R.L. Stine was going for. Like, I'm pretty sure he didn't direct this episode, but he was like, Carly Beth, channel your inner Gonzo.
That's her stage direction in Gonzo's voice.
Like, yeah, the director's like, can you do it again? But this one, this time with like some more Gonzo in there.
Yeah, can you do like 73% more Gonzo?
She was like, oh, yes, I can. And you know what? She did it. She's great.
Yeah, she did. Whatever they told her to do, she did it. Perfect.
She nailed it.
So the mom is rightfully upset by Carly Beth getting in this kid's face and says, what the hell? She's just a little girl.
Yeah, sure.
CB says, aw, well, isn't that too bad? And now the mom has had enough of this shit. But Carly Beth continues, and if you don't stop talking, you'll get what's coming to you too. She then fucking steals a handful of candy and runs off.
Yeah.
She's out of control now.
Yeah, she's getting there.
Poor Sabrina is standing there in her poor quality cat costume, wondering what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
As the mom yells at Sabrina to tell her sick friend that she's calling the police. And in the background, Carly Beth is just making it rain with that candy she stole.
Oh my gosh, she just whips it. I wanted to look and see if she hits Sabrina with some of the candy, but I don't think she does.
That would be amazing. But man, yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that scene.
Yeah. How old do you think that mom is? Like our age?
Yeah, I'm going to say early to mid 30s.
I feel like there's this thing with 90s moms where like they have the hyped up jeans and they're just like they look older than what they are. And yeah. I think the mom suffers from that a little bit, but I don't know. What a weird family. Can we just talk about how her kids aren't trick or treating right now? I don't get it.
Yeah, she's probably one of those moms who's like, oh, you can't go out trick-or-treating, like, that's Satan's...
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Something. But they'll still hand out candy.
Yeah, like, next thing you know, our kids are going to be smoking the devil's lettuce, and it's... I don't... She's got to put a stop to all that.
They'll want to play Dungeons & Dragons. Like, we have to stop this.
Yeah. I love that scene, though. It was pretty great. The kid with the one tooth, great. He's just like... What are you supposed to be? Like, shut up, kid. You can't even go trick-or-treating. You're sitting there judging everybody's costumes. What's wrong with you?
Like, why are you even here? It doesn't take three people to pass out candy.
I'm just here to judge costumes. Nah, it's great. And I actually like the next interaction right after it, too. So,
the mom in this scene played by Anne-Marie DeLuise, and she's been in a ton of stuff, including things that are coming out this year, things that came out last year.
What?
So, yeah, she's working.
She's not, like, related to Dom DeLuise or anything, is she? Because I know Dom DeLuise has, like, a couple kids.
I think she's married to one of the sons, but don't quote me on that.
I mean, who has the last name DeLuise besides, like, David and Dom, you know?
Nobody I never knew.
Do you remember that one time we were talking about Dom DeLuise and then he died the next day?
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want people to know that we killed Dom DeLuise, but it's out there now.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Dom. I still think about it all the time. I was like, we were fucking talking about him, and then he died the next fucking day. And then we vowed never to talk about Betty White.
What have you done?
We're not talking about her extensively, so she should be fine, right?
We could, though. We could talk about Betty White.
Well, if she appears in an episode of Goosebumps, then we will.
What a national treasure.
I love Betty White. She's amazing. We gotta stop, though. You know what'll happen. Okay.
So besides Goosebumps, Anne-Marie DeLuise has been in an episode of Eerie Indiana, multiple episodes of Total Recall 2070, which is a show I didn't know existed, but that sounds amazing.
You think it's based on the movie?
Yeah, or the book. I don't know, same thing.
Interesting.
Some Outer Limits episodes, some Twilight Zone episodes, and most importantly, Cortland, a role in the TV movie Life Size.
No, was she Sloppy Linda?
She played Drew McDonald, which I don't know who that is, but it doesn't matter. She was in Life Size, yo.
Oh my gosh. We were like obsessed with Life Size for some reason. I mean, I know it's a fantastic movie, but like, what the fuck is wrong with this?
Like, I don't know if we've told this story before on the podcast, but you and I created a Life Size trading card game.
Yes. Yeah, we actually got banned from playing trading card games at school, so we made our own, and it was Life Size for some reason.
Yes, based on the TV movie Life Size.
Yeah,
starring Tyra Banks and
Lindsay Lohan.
I couldn't remember her name.
That's okay. I forgot Tyra Banks for a second there. So yeah,
we're good. All right. So together, you and I.
Yeah, we.
The power is ours.
We remembered Life Size. Did you know that there's a Life Size 2?
I did know that.
I'm pretty sure that Tyra Banks isn't in it, and I don't know if Lindsay Lohan is, because I don't know what's up with her, but yeah.
I hope Lindsay Lohan isn't in it.
I hope she is.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I tend to stay away from those kinds of sequels. Like,
yeah,
they're just not. They're not gonna do it for me, I know that. Okay, so back to the episode. Sabrina catches up with CB and asks what's going on. And CB says, did you see the look on that old bag's face?
Yes,
and I had to rewind that line like 30 times because I could not hear what she was saying. The only reason I could tell what she said is because Sabrina follows it up being like, yeah, well, that old bag is going to call the police or whatever. But
yeah,
like, I rewound it and rewound it and rewound it. I asked my wife what she said. None of us could figure it out. And it was only after I was like, well, I'm just going to continue on with the episode, that it was like, oh, okay, in hindsight, that's what she was saying.
Yeah, and that happened, same thing happened to me. I didn't know what she said, and then Sabrina was like, well, audience, she just called her an old bag. What do you think of that? And I was like, I think that's great.
That is pretty great, honestly.
Yeah, she's not even old a little bit, but...
No, but everybody's old when you're 11.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I would have called her an old bag. Just like how I call any kid that's, like, under the age of 28, I call them kids. So they're not even that younger. That's younger than me, but I'm like,
right,
look at that kid over there.
Yeah. Little babies.
Ugh, grow up.
Little babies with their PhDs.
Yeah, quit making more money than me, you little baby. I got a podcast. What do you have?
A house, 10 cars, a yacht.
Yeah, fuck off.
Sabrina tells CB about the police call, and CB says that she ain't afraid of any of that shit. Sabrina then says that Carly Beth is like she is somebody else. She's figuring it out, but not really.
I know.
Sabrina's actually pretty pointless.
Yeah, when you think about it, yeah.
She contributes nothing. Then Carly Beth's voice instantly returns to her normal voice, and she calmly says, it wasn't me, Sabrina. It was the mask. The mask made me do it.
Yeah.
Very matter-of-factly.
What is...
Like, that's just a thing.
I didn't know where this was coming from, really.
I don't know. I kept thinking that the mask was just going to, like, take over at some point, but she seems like she can still slip into being herself.
Yeah. I think it might have been poor writing, honestly.
RL, what do you have to say about this?
What do you... Yeah. Explain yourself.
Sabrina wants to just go back to her house, but CB gets louder, saying, "No! This is my night! Halloween is my night! The one night I get to have fun! Because I don't have to be pitiful scaredy cat Carly Beth!" And she apologizes and runs off cackling.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that she was like, "Sorry, bye." Like,
yeah.
I don't know. To apologize and then immediately, like, snap back into your menacing self or whatever. I didn't get it, but whatever.
We cut to what a sign tells us is Ida Grove Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
The bullies, Chuck and Steve, are both dressed as pirates and are sword fighting. Then they stop to admire their dope candy haul.
These kids, I don't know about them. They're weird.
What do you think about Chuck and Steve, Cortland?
I don't even know what to think, man. They're weird. They're really weird. Chuck in particular is really weird. And that's the one that's played by Ethan from Tale of the Ghastly Grinner, which I messed up in the last episode.
Watching this one, it was like, oh yeah, that's definitely him.
Yeah, he's weird. He's a really good actor, though. Like, he does a good job. He's just fucking weird.
Good.
Like, spoilers for, like, a couple of scenes, but they, like, dance and stuff in a cemetery, and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Why is this happening?
I love that part.
I loved it, too, but it's so... Like, why is it fucking happening?
I don't know. It is a weird relationship. Like, Chuck seems like he's maybe a few years older than Steve. Yes. And he's clearly calling the shots, and Steve just kind of follows along.
He tries to be the voice of reason a little bit, but Chuck just overpowers him. I don't know.
You just can't say no to Chuck, you know?
Yeah, right.
So Steve asks Chuck what they should do next. Chuck is like, well, we've already been to every house, so might as well go into a cemetery.
Right, logical conclusion. Yeah.
Right, I don't really follow that, but okay. Did you ever, like, have a thing for just hanging out at cemeteries?
No, but I did learn how to ride a bike in a cemetery, so that was pretty cool.
Sorry, I drove a car a little bit in a cemetery.
Oh, nice. I did too, yeah. Yep. Cemeteries are just the place to go to learn how to turn, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. There's not a lot of people in there. Most of them are already dead, so...
Yeah, right.
You can just, like, ride things in there. But... Not so much the, like, hanging out, drinking, that kind of thing.
No. You know what? Okay, I didn't drink in cemeteries, but I used to live near a, like, very known haunted cemetery at my mom and stepdad's house. And when I was in high school, my friends and I would go there at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was very boring, and nothing spooky ever happened.
Well, that's a shame.
I know.
We now see Carly Beth smashing some pumpkins and growling. And she growls a lot. She growls a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
So, just kind of any time I'm describing her doing something, just also imagine her being like, just all the time.
Oh, yeah. This is what she does for fun, though. She's smashing pumpkins and fucking up Halloween decorations.
Yes, this is what Carly Beth always wanted to do, I guess, but was too scared to.
I don't get that, but whatever.
She wanted to just be a little asshole.
She wanted to be a little shit, Brandon.
So she starts walking and bumps into a decoration. She picks it up and throws it. Then she continues to smash some more decorations. Groups of kids nearby have noticed that this weirdo is making a scene, and they stare at her, but she growls at them.
It's a really large group of kids.
It is. They're like, what the fuck's like going on over here? It's like an entire classroom of kids. And she's just like, yeah, yeah, kicking over fake headstones and, like, just pulling down spider webs and just...
I'd be so mad. If that was happening in my yard, Halloween would be canceled, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm an old-ass man. I would cancel Halloween. I would call a PTO
these
meeting.
Damn kids. They're pranks.
How dare they?
So the kids all run, and CB screams, "This is great!" And we get a very long shot of just her running into the background.
Yeah, she's kind of like running towards the kids a little bit, and it's forever. She runs forever.
Yeah, she just keeps running.
She's still running
so far away. Now we see Chuck and Steve are dancing together in the cemetery, singing 16 men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho, and away we go.
Oh my god.
And I just thought there was something very wholesome about this.
But why, though?
I don't know.
They're in a
cemetery. But cemetery aside, these two boys are just having fun, singing, dancing, arm in arm. Like, it's just nice.
I'm not going to say this isn't something They're that buds. We wouldn't do, but it's just kind of weird.
It is. It is a little weird, but, you know, they're having fun. Then they stop to examine their treasure, their candy.
Oh, I got all these gold doubloons. Like, they're into it. They they thought about they're being a pirate all year, and then they did it. They're living their best life.
This is the one time they can, like, live their true pirate fantasies and not be judged for it.
Yeah, this is their time to shine.
So they have all their candy spread across the top of a headstone. Steve tries again to convince Chuck to just go home, but nah, Chuck is just soaking in all this graveyard fun.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He pretends to hear a noise and invites Steve to investigate. When Steve goes to look, he quickly grabs a skeleton mask and waits for Steve. Steve turns around and jumps, and Chuck just laughs.
Scaring people, funniest thing in the whole fucking world.
Seriously. He's just like, ugh. And that's it. That's all it takes to have him laughing for like 10 minutes.
I gotta say, Brandon, I can't think of any time in our friendship where we like intentionally scared each other to laugh at each other. You know what I mean?
I don't get a kick out of that.
It's because you're not a psychopath.
Well, it is good to know that scaring Carly Beth isn't personal. Like, scaring people just gives Chuck power.
Gives him power, right?
He just levels up from scaring peeps. He has to.
He absorbs people's powers like Mega Man, yes.
So after scaring Steve, Chuck is huffing and puffing like, I've been waiting to do that. All night.
He is hamming it up, man. He is going all in on this. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
He's like, oh my god. Oh my god. He's like, whoa, okay, Chuck.
That time where you said, oh, that was like, oh my god, that was like heroin.
Yeah, it was heroin. It was great. He does a good job.
We see Carly Beth running near the cemetery, and she hears the boys laughing. She stops instantly and says, there they are, and cackles her way in. Now, Carly Beth stalks the boys in first person, and we see Chuck still laughing at his joke.
Yeah, still laughing.
It's really not funny at all. Steve says, big deal. You really get a kick out of everything. But Chuck stops laughing, because now he actually does hear something. Steve is naturally incredulous, but Carly Beth pops out from behind them and growls into the sky.
I like this part where he's like, shut the fuck up. I think there is actually something. Because the whole time you can see Carly Beth in the background, like, making her way downtown. It's great. She's walking fast. She, like, pokes her head behind a tree. It's funny.
Yeah. But I feel like with all this buildup, like, this was the whole reason she got this mask.
Yeah.
And she stalked to these boys, and, like, she kind of just blew her element of surprise to just go, meh.
Yeah, it was because I think they turn around, like, before she's even up on them, and they're like, who are you, Carly Beth?
I think that's hilarious, because they ask who's under the mask, and she says to guess, and they instantly guess that it's her.
Yeah. Well, you know, it probably doesn't help that she has, like, the bust of her head on a spike right
I guess, there. But who could look at that and recognize it that it's her, other than her?
Her mom. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're just like, who are you, Carly Beth?
Like, what are you, some kind of Carly Beth? Like, why even have the mask at this point?
Yeah. I love
it. Just take it off and keep being an asshole. Steve says, whew, you really scared us. But he sounds way less scared than when his best friend just stood behind him in a not haunted mask 30 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
Now, CB is losing the advantage here, so she tries to up the spook factor by claiming that the head on the stick is Carly Beth's head. And Chuck asks how Carly Beth is making that weird voice, which is
an odd question.
It's an odd question, because she's just
talking with a voice. Yeah. What they're trying to do is, like, show that the haunted mask is altering her, like, personality or voice and stuff, but, like, it's a voice anybody can do.
I can do it right now, you know?
Oh my god, what is that?
It's a haunted mask, Brandon. Good thing you're in Australia and you're safe and sound. Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your creepy mask salesman. Thank you so much for listening into our show. We've had such a great week this week as we transition over to Goosebumps with more new listeners than ever before. Looking to support the show? Become a patron for as little as $1 a month today at patreon.com/privateisland. You'll get instant access to early release episodes the moment I'm done with the editing, which means usually 1 or 2 weeks early. Higher tiers get more rewards like bonus episodes, stickers and shirts sent to you, and more. I'd like to thank our current patrons of the Bronze Beth, Eddie, Mia, Tristan, and Venice Witch, the Silver Goth, Shane, Evelyn, Steven, Matt, Gerilyn, Brittany, and our newest patron, Aaron, the Golden Day-Days Faith, Sarah, and Angela, and the Platinum Bostics, Bryce, Kathy, and Matt. Thank you so much, everyone. Our show wouldn't be the same without you. I'd like to do another Patreon-exclusive giveaway soon, so stay tuned for more details. If you're new to Up All Night, please follow us on Instagram at Private Island Presents and on Twitter at PRVT Island. Brandon and I make a ton of video content that we post weekly that really enhances our podcast. We've got memes every Friday and watch parties on Wednesdays. For a quick link to our Patreon, the Instagram, YouTube page, merch store, and more, check out the link in our episode description. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for its work on the music for our show, aside from this theme, Dating Start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Like I said last episode, I'd like to cross-promote with more podcasts. So, if you've got a podcast and you'd like to cross-promote, just send me an email at privateislandpresents@gmail.com and include your promo. Speaking of which, here's the promo for the Brocast with hosts Alan and Tom.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Oh, yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room. Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah, well.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter at The Brocast. That's BROKAST.
Hey, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening and laughing with us as we're making our way through Goosebumps. For now, I'll let you get back to the Haunted Mask Part 2, and I'll talk to you again next week. Bye, everybody.
Carly Beth wants them to apologize to her, or rather her fake decapitated head, and the boys are just like, huh? For what? Like, they don't even know what they did wrong.
Yeah. Kind of weird. I feel like if you're a bully, you'd understand what you're doing to people. But
yeah, like even if you're just like, you know, that's what we do or whatever, like you still know what you're doing is wrong, probably.
Well,
or at least that someone doesn't like it, even if you don't think it's wrong.
I don't know. I'm not a bully.
Yeah.
Darn it. Shame.
Missed only opportunity. We understood.
Well.
So Carly Beth freaks out. She yells, "For every time you scared her! For every time you made people laugh at her!" Chuck says that they were just having a goof.
They were just having a goof!
Steve says that it was only because they liked her.
Aw, that's a horrible thing to do to somebody, but, you know.
Yeah, what do you think about that old excuse?
I may or may not have been, like, somebody that did things to people because they liked them, so...
I was gonna ask you that.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I'm trying to think if I ever did. I don't think I was ever, like, overtly bullyish. I think that I just tried to, like, be more, a little bit more of a jerk, like, more aloof so that they didn't think that I liked them.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to know that I liked them, so I wanted them to think, like, well, how could he like me? He's, like, you know, he's not that nice to me. But I wasn't ever, like, you know, pushing people down, like...
No, I don't think I ever got physical with anybody.
Carly Beth isn't buying it, though. She demands that they beg forgiveness from the Carly Beth head. They right. do. And then we cut to a shot of the mask, and it opens its eyes and says,
"Help me."
Yeah, this is the Carly Beth head mask that is somehow, like, doing this. I don't know.
Yes, I still don't know. This shocks everybody, including the real Carly Beth, who throws the mask down. The boys run away scared, and then Carly Beth howls to the moon in victory, clapping and doing more little dances.
She goes for it. She does it.
Yeah.
Anybody that howls to the moon, I personally hate it when people do this. I just think it's super cringy. But she did a great job, so I didn't cringe as hard, I guess.
No, she earned it, I guess.
she went for it, and she did it.
Yep.
She was like, victory screech!
So now she takes the Carly Beth mask and digs a hole like a dog, burying it and saying goodbye to that scaredy cat, Carly Beth. And her hole, like the hole sounds... Like, we're going to have to get clips of her while she's digging, because I just think it's hilarious. She's digging. She's like...
She's digging straight like a dog. It's great.
Yeah, she is. So now she does a sweet cartwheel out of the cemetery and runs back into the house.
She fucking cartwheels right out of there like a fucking Olympic athlete. She's just like, out of there.
And yeah, this is another running back into the background scene for too long. So she runs back to where all the houses are. She stops for a second to take a breath, and a hand slowly reaches to grab her. And I think we're meant to be scared by this, but who could it possibly be? Because she is the monster of this story.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, at least they do a nice job, because it has, like, claws on the hand, because, I mean, that's the costume that this person was wearing.
Yeah, it's just Sabrina.
Fucking Sabrina.
And instead of just being like, hey, Carly Beth, she's like, dunna,
dunna. Yeah.
Which is something that people do in horror things all the time.
And it makes no fucking sense in any of them. But whatever. Nope.
But we accept it. So Sabrina claims that she's been looking for CB all over. She interrogates CB about where she's been, what she's been doing, and where that hideous mask is.
Yeah.
Sabrina just wants to go home. And they walk hand in hand back to the house. Inside, Sabrina is checking out her sweet candy haul, while Carly Beth decides that it's finally time to take the mask off.
Yeah, because it's like fucking, it's sweat. It's, she's just dripping sweat under the mask. She's like, it's
gotta,
like a fucking sauna in here.
Yeah, it's gotta be gross under that thing. But of course, it won't come off. Sabrina says,
well, it's gonna sound pretty dumb if we have to call the fire department to come get you.
I thought that line was funny.
CB ain't got time for that, and she just wants to cut the mask off with a knife.
Not a bad idea. Not gonna lie. She only paid $30 for it. Like, what's she losing?
Yeah, she, like, involuntarily took the mask from the shopkeeper. And she sacrificed, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't think that they could show a child with a knife, though, in a 1995 children's horror show.
Unfortunately, no. Sabrina says, whoa, slow the fuck down. Let's just give it one more try. She tries to reach down to grab under the mask, but she says, there's no bottom to this mask. There's no line between the mask and your skin. There's no way to reach my hand in.
Yeah, because she, like, took one look at Carly Beth and seen all of her. Was like, yep, your mask now.
She sees a little bit of her neckline. And she's like, you're more mask than man now. Like, her hands are normal people hands. So
yes.
There's a line somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. There's a part earlier where she, like, looks at Carly Beth's hand. I think it's when she's interrogating her, and she's like, what the fuck's up with your hands? And I thought that that was a hint that the mask was, like, over her whole body, but I'm pretty sure it's just talking about how they're dirty from her digging, like, a dog in the dirt.
It is.
She's like, what the fuck is wrong with your hands? You look like a dog that's been digging in the dirt. Carly Beth's like, my little secret.
Carly Beth runs to a mirror, and sure enough, she's all Green Goblin now.
Uh-huh.
But worse than that, she sees her eyes in the mirror and frantically says to Sabrina that those aren't her eyes. Her eyes don't look like that. Where are her eyes?
Yeah.
And Sabrina is rightfully freaked the hell out. And CB runs out of the house screaming, who am I?
Yeah.
I thought this part was actually creepy, though.
Yeah, so one of the things that I noticed is that they did a great job with the mask makeup, where it's very seamless between the mask and the eyes. Like, they, you know, colored the eyelids, like, the perfect color to complement the mask or whatever. But her... Catherine Long's eyes are blue, and I don't think that the eyes in the mask are blue. I think they're more brown or green or something. So that's one of the things that I noticed in the first episode, too. So I wonder if it really is Catherine Long under that, or if they just did Catherine Long voiceovers.
Yeah, I wonder if they used Catherine Long for some shots and someone else for other ones, or if they used contact lenses or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I bet you we could look it up, but like...
Yeah, really probably.
It was a good scene, though. I liked it. Shows some character emotion and stuff. Emotion in shows like this are always great, so...
Yeah.
I liked it.
And Sabrina's, like, kind of clued in more into what's happening.
Yeah, she doesn't chase her friend or anything, but, you know.
No, she doesn't do that. She, like, it's said, like, 10 times in this episode that Sabrina's looking for her, you know, here and there. But, I don't know, she's not very good at finding her in this very tiny town, I guess.
Yeah, and also doesn't care to run after her or anything, which is, you know, whatever. Sabrina's got candy to eat or something, you know, whatever.
Carly Beth approaches a group of trick-or-treaters. And the leader, or whatever, I guess, says, "What are you supposed to be?" Carly Beth says,
"I'm supposed to be mean, but I'm not. I'm supposed to be mean, but I'm not."
Which, I don't know, describes everyone on Halloween.
Please come back.
Yeah.
That's not a very satisfying answer. I'm somebody different.
I forgot about this part where she runs up to this girl dressed in a witch costume who's like, "What the fuck are you?" It's like, yeah. Why?
Ooh. What are you, a hamster?
Like, shut up.
It's the same little kid. The kids all run away, even though she begs them to stay.
Yeah.
So now she finally makes her way back to Novelty Shop.
We knew she was going to end up there, but
yeah, she took
a little
to.
Longer than I thought.
The shopkeeper is waiting there for her. She wants the mask off right now, but he says he can't remove the mask. And they walk into the back room, and Cortland, did you see, as they were walking into the back room, a glowing witch's head?
I don't think I did. I was more focused on, like, the camera work, where they transition from the front of the store to the back room, like, just following them. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, there's a witch's head that, it didn't look like a mask to me,
mm-hmm.
but it must have been, because why would there just be, like, a witch just standing there?
But, was it in the front of the store?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in the foreground.
I'll take a look at it.
I don't know. It stood out to me. The shopkeeper explains to Carly Beth that he can't remove it because it's not a mask. It's a real face.
Right.
And then he begins lovingly caressing the evil-looking masks in the back and says that these masks didn't start out ugly. They used to be beautiful. But something went wrong. No matter what he did, they became hideous. He has a special name for these masks. The Unloved
Haunted
Ones.
Oh.
Because yeah. No one would ever love them.
Can you imagine if the book was called The Unloved Mask?
I mean, that would be more unique, I think.
What kind of fucking weirdo just loves their masks that much?
Creepy shopkeeper mask makers?
I suppose, yes.
I mean, you look at that guy and you think,
mask
that
fetish.
Dude loves
yep.
masks. Except Carly Beth did love the masks. She's the only one. But Carly Beth freaks out again, screaming that she hates this face and wants it off. Mm-hmm. The shopkeeper is just like, "Sorry, this face is yours now." But then he remembers that there may actually be a way.
How convenient.
He asks her how many times she has taken the mask off. She tells him that she's only taken it off once. The shopkeeper walks straight up to the camera and says, "There may still be a chance." I'm trying to do an accent because he has an accent, but I don't know what accent he's doing, so...
I feel like it's like Russian or something. I'm not sure.
He has some kind of accent.
It's definitely not Augustus Gloop, so
no,
who cares?
Definitely not. But the shopkeeper says that he can't take the mask off. Carly Beth is the only one who can. With the symbol of love.
Oh, God.
Carly Beth says, "What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Who are you, and how do you know all this shit?" He says, "I was the man who created these faces." And I feel like that's supposed to be some kind of reveal, but did we all not assume that?
I mean, who else would have made the masks?
It's in, like, the laboratory in his back room.
Yeah. He's got all the masks, all the podiums for the masks, and he's got, like, the shit to make them, so it's like...
Yeah, but, like, the way this scene is shot, he's like, "No, Carly Beth, I made the masks."
She's like, I don't know what he says in Star Wars, so...
No! This can't be true! It's not true!
This can't be possible!
But, I mean, yeah, he obviously made the masks.
Yeah, for sure.
She asks why he made the masks, and the shopkeeper says, "I was like you, Carly Beth. Weak, pathetic." Nah, he doesn't say that. But he says that he didn't like himself. So he made the masks to hide his thoughts. But his dark thoughts made the masks more evil. And he points to his own face with the scarred cheek that we mentioned in the last episode. And he says, "Like this one is turning now." He says, "I shouldn't show you what is underneath this face." And then he thinks for like a second more and says, "Wait a tick, I should totally show you what I've got going on under here."
Yeah. All right, so... I have a question, though. This shopkeeper, he makes these masks. Does he grow them on his own face and then peel them off once they're ugly to start over? Is Carly Beth wearing, like, his skin? What's going on? Is that what it is? Because that's pretty good. If that's what it is, that's pretty good.
I think so.
Like, he's, like, shedding his face when it gets too ugly and putting the masks on display. And Carly Beth's like, "This one smells like you, but, like, whatever." And puts it on.
Yeah, I think that's it. He's just, like, growing them on his face. And then he's like, "Oh, this one's fucking shit now." And then he puts it on.
Redo! Okay. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good story element, I think.
Yeah. And, like, I know it's better left up to... imagination or whatever, but I do kind of want to know what's under that face.
Me too. I hope it's like, just what is horrible.
He? Yeah. Is he not even human?
Well, spoilers, we don't find out this little episode, but maybe Haunted Mask Part 2 is all about that.
Maybe.
Probably not.
So Carly Beth freaks out again about wanting her face back, and the shopkeeper shushes her. He doesn't want to wake up the masks, which... I thought it was weird. I didn't know that was a concern because he was just touching the masks like a few seconds earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we get a shot of the masks sort of floating off of their display stands.
Oh, yeah, right.
What did you think of this whole like scene?
It's a bit like psychedelic because the masks, they get up and they like float around and they have like a ghostly shadow following them. And then they, like, spin around and stuff, like...
Yeah, that's the best part.
I don't know,
it doesn't
man.
Look terrible. Like, it doesn't look amazing, but, like, even by today's standards, I think it looks pretty good.
It's okay, but I think.
It's just not that menacing to me. Like, just these heads kind of floating around.
Yeah. And they talk, too.
Yeah, they talk.
They talk. And they sound... like Garfield from the 80s. "Come on, Carly Beth. Do it, Carly Beth." Like, they sound so fucking bored.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right.
"Join us, Carly Beth. Come on, Carly
Lasagna,
Beth.
Life Carly is dope Beth. Over
here." "Let's have some fun, Carly Beth."
"Mondays, am I right, Carly Beth?"
And they say Carly Beth like 100 times.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yes,
in a span of like 20
does.
Minutes.
People love saying this girl's name.
God, they just love saying all the fucking syllables. There's so many.
So anyway, CB gets the hell out of there and tries the locked front door. The masks do little flips and pirouettes while chanting, "Join us, Carly Beth," and things of that nature.
"Get over here, yes." Like, I didn't hate it. I can't say I hated it, but I was just kind of like, what the fuck is going on? Why are these monotone losers just trying to say, "Hey, life's dope over here, Carly Beth"?
Like, you're going to have to be a little more convincing than that. Sound like you're having some fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, woohoo! Water's fine, Carly Beth. Come on in. So Carly Beth finally gets out of the shop, and she takes a look back at the shop, with the masks bopping around, being like, "Come on back, man," before taking off to the cemetery while the masks give chase.
It was kind of cool that the masks can leave the shop, because I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to, and then they did.
Yeah.
They're just they would out be. In the world, and the shopkeeper's like, well, there they go.
My little baby's going off in the world.
Haunting people. Yeah, he's just like, well, they're at the mercy of the wind. Like, do you think that the wind has any effect on their, like, flight trajectory or anything?
It has to. They're still affected by the laws of physics, Cortland.
So ridiculous. She makes her way to the cemetery, Brandon. Like, okay, so he had a pumpkin patch in front of his house, or in front of his shop the last episode. He also lives mm-hmm. right next to the cemetery?
It's a small town. Everything's just right there. So Carly Beth gets to the cemetery, and she starts digging up that head that she buried earlier. Mm-hmm. And the masks are still pretty insistent that she just kind of become one of them instead.
Yeah, they, like, lose her for a second, and then she's like, don't look over this way!
Hey, there she is.
Let's get her, guys.
She picks up the Carly Beth mask and tells them, this is me! The evil masks all get one look of that shitty Carly Beth head,
and
they just take off.
They're like, fuck this.
That's it.
They're like, that's what she looks like under there? Never mind.
Ugh, I don't want you.
Yeah, they all, like, circle her, and she, like, look at this ugly fucking mask my mom made, and they're like, ugh. Let's go back to the shop. Gross.
Your mom sucks.
They're like, what is that? What is that, Plaster of Paris? Fucking, I'm out of here. Get that shit out of here.
Amateur hour, going back to a real mask maker.
So good. I loved it.
So finally free of the mask horror, Carly Beth reaches under the mask and pulls it off pretty easily, mm-hmm. revealing that she's back to her Helen Hunt looking ass.
Yeah, no, right? She is.
She takes a look at the Carly Beth mask and says, a symbol of love. That's what he meant. The music gets a little more uplifting as she runs off into the background for, like, the 50th time.
Yeah. Just, I wish she would have done another cartwheel, but whatever.
She can't do it anymore. That was the power of the mask.
Oh. So basically what you're trying to tell me is that the power of love is not what helps gymnasts. It's power of evil.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I gotcha.
That's the power of evil. So at home, Carly Beth greets her brother Noah, who sees her and immediately drops the bowl of ice cream that he's holding.
God, he had that fucking shit planned. That asshole. I want that fucking ice cream.
He begs her to please take that mask off. Please! She looks into the mirror at her own normal face and starts to look worried. But Noah's just goofing.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, yep. I
hate that kid.
And he sacrificed a bowl of ice cream for that joke.
Okay, so let's dissect this bit here, because that,
yeah.
I mean, rest in peace ice cream, of course. But how pissed would you be if you scooped up your kid some ice cream and was like, there you go, you little scamp, go and enjoy, and they purposely dumped it on the floor?
I would be angry.
I would too.
But also, like, man, this kid went trick-or-treating. Like, he's got a bag full of candy somewhere. I think ice cream's a little bit overkill.
That's a good point, yeah. What the fuck are you doing, Carly Best Mom? You let them go out trick-or-treating, probably alone, because you're sitting there baking fucking cookies, and you give your kid that's, like, 7 years old ice cream before bed when he has a bag of cookies, a bag of candy, now a bowl of ice cream.
Just won't stop shoving sugar down his throat.
God. Whatever.
Okay, so she sees her mom and hugs her, apologizing for being late. But her mom don't give a shit about any of that. She just wants to know why Carly Beth mm-hmm. didn't wear her dog costume.
She's asking the real questions.
She's like, Mom, I was fighting demons all night. And she's like, where the fuck's your duck costume?
You better have been fighting those in that duck costume. She's like, Sabrina called twice to let me know you weren't in your duck costume.
She's like, shut up, Carly Beth. Where's that duck costume? Carly Beth says that she's learned a lot about herself tonight. And then they hug again. Oh, but we hear laughing coming from the other room. Carly Beth yells, better not be touching my goddamn mask. Noah assures her that he would never dare before immediately coming out wearing the mask, laughing.
Yeah, and then it fades.
That's the end.
I knew that was going to happen, but You remember that one time Carly Beth put it on for 3 seconds and then took it off right away? I'm pretty sure that yeah. she's going to be able to take it off.
Yes, definitely. I thought it was a real missed opportunity to have a good dark ending with Noah being like, take off the mask, while she wasn't wearing it. And then
yeah.
that's the end, and it's just like, oh, fuck.
I think that's a bit of a mind fuck for kids, though.
Yeah, that's a Twilight Zone ending.
Yeah.
But that would be scary right. as hell. Just like she just looks normal to us, but everyone else sees her as, you know, a horrible monster.
That would be really cool. But I think that's a bit yeah. much for kids, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. So now we cut to our boy, R.L. Stine,
who asks us. It's our boy.
Now that wasn't too scary, was it? Let's ask my family. Mom? Dad? What did you think?
Yeah, let's just ask my mom and dad, whatever.
And then we cut to two old people sitting with their hair sprayed all up, looking shocked.
Yeah.
They're frozen, you know, they got makeup, they're pale.
What the fuck and... is this, Einstein? What are you giving us this shit for?
What is this?
Is that R.L. Stine's real parents? Like, that's, I'm sure it's not.
That's the important question. Like, if this isn't his real parents, this fucking... Don't do this. This is a waste of film. If it is his real parents, it's still stupid, but at least it's kind of, like, sweet.
Yeah.
That they were a part of this. But, yeah. This real dumb.
I kind of hated it, but I kind of loved it at the same time, so I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know. Thankfully, it only happens for a few seconds.
Yeah, this outro is like 5 seconds. He says, I think that they like the show, and then invites us to have a scary day, and that's it. That's
yeah,
it. Cuts to that
joke. He's all very monotone about it all, too. He's like one of the masks.
Yeah, he's... You think he voiced them? He's not.
I think he's not
a good actor. But he's no, all he's dying, so...
He's like, I think they liked it. Well, have a spooky day. RL.
Come back next time for another story that I like.
Yeah.
Yo, smash that subscribe button.
Ding a ling ling that bell.
That's the tale. That's the Haunted Mask part 2.
Yeah.
That's the Haunted Mask in general. What did you think of the whole story?
I liked it a lot. I'm glad. I said this in the first episode. I'm really glad to be back in the 90s with, like, not the best child actors and stuff. There's something endearing about it that I just really enjoy watching, and I really enjoy talking with you about, because I had a lot of fun talking in this episode. There's a lot of stuff to laugh at, and it's great.
Yeah.
Overall, like, I think the story's fine. It was fun. Catherine Long was good. I don't think I ever read the source material, so I don't know how it compares to the book, but, like, it's entertaining. There's parts that we talked about where it just kind of drags, like Carly Beth running into the distance for, like, literally 10, 15 seconds.
Definitely.
That don't need to be there, but overall, totally watchable. I think that my son's going to enjoy watching this one with me in a couple of weeks when we do the watch party for it.
Yeah, and I think this is also a good Halloween episode to... You know, add to your pumpkin season watching.
Watch every year. Yeah, and I think it was a really good first episode, too, like for Goosebumps. Because this was the first episode that they aired. I mean, that's why we're doing it first. I think it was a really good introduction to Goosebumps. I think it was probably better to do this over something that, I guess, R.L. Stine didn't love. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll find out which ones. He's like,
this is one of my shit stories.
Yeah. This one's about some egg monsters, so I'm not going to do the intro for this one. I don't want my face on it.
They make me do one of these every week, so they're not all winners.
Did you enjoy it, Brandon? What did you think?
Yeah, it was nice revisiting this one. I haven't seen it in a very long time. I watched it in school.
That's weird.
I didn't really think it was very scary then, but I still liked it.
Yeah.
And there are parts now I find maybe a little scarier than when I was a kid.
Well, I think that the scary parts to me are the ones that are, again, like real life horror, where she gets locked in the back room with this creepy old man. That doesn't sit well with me.
No, that's spooky. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. Catherine Long, she was pretty good in The Tale of the Walking Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But she absolutely, like, carries these two episodes.
Yeah.
There are some episodes of these shows where the main character is just dull. And, yeah, like cool things happen around them, but, you know, they're not contributing much. But Catherine Long is fucking killing it.
She makes this episode with her grunts and her cackling, and it's great.
Yeah, she loves being a little shit.
It's her passion. She did it. I know that there's another one. I know there's a Haunted Mask 2. And I'm hoping that Catherine Long's back in it. I don't see how she can't be. Because I feel, like, when I think of Goosebumps, Carly Beth is, like, the main character that I think of. Like, the main hero of Goosebumps, in my opinion. So, in my uneducated opinion. So, I feel like she's going to be back in part two. And I'm really excited to see her back. I think she's going to be great again.
Yeah, it would be cool if Carly Beth, or at least Catherine Long, was, like, a Sardo or a Vink kind of character who just, you know, yeah, popped right up here and there. She's just always in somebody's class at school, different schools.
You know, I don't think that our Goosebumps is going to have, like, a Sardo or a Vink, but it'd be cool if they did. I'm just going to say that. R.L. Stine, if you're listening, write that one in 20, 25 years later.
Yeah, he could do that, I think. What do you think was the moral of this whole endeavor?
I mean, love is the most powerful magic. It's even more powerful than train magic, okay, Brandon?
Yeah, on the scale, like, of magic.
It literally is represented in this episode. It beat train magic.
Yeah, it did.
Like, she had to, her powerful love had to face off against train magic, and fucking choo-choo, motherfucker, love wins. I don't know.
Every time. Yeah, this had a pretty obvious moral. You know, love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Scare your friends, yep.
Don't be fucking scared of everything, you dumbass. And, you know, don't wear shitty masks.
Don't wear other people's skin is probably what I got most out of this one.
Yeah, I feel like everybody could do with following that lesson.
Good idea, yes.
So what do you think would be some good alternate names for this episode?
Well, I said one earlier, the Unloved Mask. That's more of a romance, yeah, though, I think.
But it sounds lovely.
It's not indicative of the story whatsoever, but none of our alternate names are, so.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yo-ho-ho and Away We Go. That's one of them.
That would be pretty good. What about The Novelty Shop?
Ooh, classic.
Yeah. The Duck Costume.
Oh, I really wish we could have seen that duck costume again. I thought for sure she was going to have to stitch that shit back together. Do you think the duck costume returns in the second part?
That's probably what the second part's about.
Oh my, like, gosh.
The duck costume comes alive.
It's going to be like in Halloween 2 where it's the next night or like the same night.
And her voice changes and she's like...
Gotta fix the duck costume. There we go.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Me neither. It's great stuff.
But we have to, because the next episode The Cuckoo Clock of Doom.
Oh, the Cuckoo Clock of Doom, huh?
Have you heard of this one, Cortland?
You know what, Brandon? I'm not going to lie. I think I might have read this one a very, very long time ago, and I don't remember a single thing about it, so obviously it was great. I want to look at the cover, because like we said in the last episode, the covers are like all that in a bag of chips. So I want to look up the cover of Cuckoo Clock of Doom before I make a decision on what I think this is going to be about. I have a feeling the cover is going to be a cuckoo clock, so
no,
let me see.
No way.
And the cover is a cuckoo clock.
That artist earning their paycheck.
Well, good news. I can buy it for like $4. Okay. So this cover is I've never seen a cuckoo in a cuckoo clock before. This looks like a real ass bird ejected out of a grandfather clock. It says, keep your eye on the birdie. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So based on that, what do you think it is?
Is this going to be like a haunted object kind of thing where like, things just start going wrong when the Wilson family brings home a grandfather clock with a cuckoo bird in it, and Jonathan can only think that the cuckoo bird in the cuckoo clock is the one causing all the mishaps.
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I'm not going to lie, Brandon. This one's going to be fucking stupid, isn't it? This is going to suck.
We're getting a little more out there story-wise with this next one.
Okay. Like, do you remember this one? Is this...
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. All right. You know what, Brandon? Looking forward to it. Cuckoo Clock of Doom, yeah, fucking bring it on, Arnold Stein. I hope he's like, hey, what's up, folks? It's your boy.
Every time.
This one's also my favorite. I want that
every time now.
It's about a cuckoo
Here's
clock.
Here's what my parents think about this one.
Nah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's next week. So we've been up all night.
Week. We have.
I will see you next week for the Cuckoo Clock of Doom.
Let's do it. All right. I'm out of here.
All right. Yep.
Back to bed for me.
I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
I'm just staying in character, you know, getting in the mood.